This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Wahine Atua, a space made for and by women in Taranaki. Whether you're tuning in at home, work, or with a cuppa in hand, you're in great company. Join us now for chats, laughter, real korero, and a whole lot of wahine power. It's Wahine Atua, on now here at Access Radio Taranaki.
Welcome back to Wahine Atua for another week. Last week we talked about menopause with Fee and Marcia, and we're going to pick up that conversation again and carry it on here today.
How's your napping been, ladies?
Yeah. Fee, you were telling us about some yoga thing. Tell us, what's that all about? What's this yoga thing?
Yoga Nidra, N-I-D-R-A, and it's a yogic sleep. So it's a state of consciousness between waking and sleeping, and it can help, you know, like it's a very productive nap. So they think that like a 20 to 30 minute session of that is the equivalent to 2 to 4 hours sleep.
Holy mother
Brilliant.
Of
God. Yeah. So, for deep rest. And because we're talking about, you know, getting tired, and we all do, but then we're also time deficient. So using something like that, can be quite good. I mean, there's little things on YouTube or whatever, you know. It was recommended to me because, yes, sleeping at nighttime apparently for me is only an option. So I started doing that so that I'm not depleting my body and I can still function as a relatively normal human being.
So do you do that at home, or do you go to a group? Or
no, you can do it at home. I try not. I'm not doing it in the office because that's just a little odd. Just lie down on the floor.
Bother your feet. Come on. There's a motivating factor.
But yeah, so you can just do it. It's just like a reset. It's a bit like a power nap, but a structured power nap. And you know, to be fair, we could try anything. You know, to make our bodies function.
Yogic sleep.
Yeah. So, because yoga, you know, takes you around your breathing, because a lot of people don't breathe properly.
Yeah. Is it like doing that thing where you can reset your brain with that sleeping thing where you breathe in to the count of four, hold your breath to the count of six, and breathe out to the count of seven? Is it a bit like that?
Oh, the box breathing. Yeah. Yeah. But this is actually getting yourself into a state of consciousness between wake and sleep.
Fun.
So, yeah, I mean, hey, anything, it might work for some people, might not for others, you know.
I think, because I said in the last time we got together that I want to be a campaigner for the nap, I might be taken more seriously if I was campaigning for yogic sleep.
Yes, so do a bit of Googling there, Marcia, and then you'll be able to get a
whole
following.
I've got it here, I'm just looking. It's saying practitioners lie in a Savansa or corpse pose, so on your back with your arms down by your side, and follow a guided voice to move from wakefulness to a state of deep conscious relaxation between waking and sleeping. I'm in.
Yep.
That sounds bloody good.
It does, actually. Shall we just do that now?
Not made for a great podcast, but, you know, we'll feel great.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's quite funny because I, as you know, ladies know, I taught drama for years, and one of the things we always did as a drama warm-up with the teenagers was I'd get them lying on the floor and we'd do visualisation and tense and release. And I've always, you know, I've always been a fierce advocate for the fact that that sort of stuff works, because I can remember going and seeing there's one exercise that you do with is a relaxation drama exercise, and basically you talk about feeling your body getting heavy, and they're lying on the floor with their hands by their sides, on their backs, eyes shut, and they have to imagine that their body's getting heavy, and with each breath out their body's getting heavier and heavier and heavier, and then you bring them from that point to actually go saying that they're on the sand and they're going through the warmth of sand into the cold sand right down the bottom, and it's so heavy. And then you bring them back up and you talk about how they're just going to start lifting and they're just floating just above the sand. And I kid you not, in every class I've ever taught in the years I taught high school drama, there wasn't one class where I didn't see a teenager could lift their arms up, and they actually would, without knowing, They would lift their arms up. They would actually lift their arms up off the floor, and you'd see their fingers lift up, and they had no idea they were doing it. But it almost was like they weren't levitating, obviously, but it was almost like, you could see that they, in their mind, they were floating. That visualization was so real. And I guess, yeah, you talking about that. I've tried it myself when I've tried to go to bed because I don't sleep, and my worst hour is about 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock. That's the worst time I wake up, and then I can't get back to sleep. And I have been known to get up at half past 5, 6 and go to work because I just can't sleep. And I've tried getting up, walking around,
Have you tried the Balance app?
No.
Yeah, it's one that's got a get to sleep, or if you or get back to sleep as well. And I find that quite good, just to get you into that state of, relaxation. And there's one that you can do with it where you, it, does a very similar thing about, body focus, and then you go down, and then it can you can play the sound for like up to 8 hours, and it can just sort of keep you in a slightly
I've
deeper
have
sleep.
tried the white noise. I've tried that, and I've tried black noise, and I put it actually on my TV with a black screen and just have the black noise in the background on YouTube, and
What's
that
the
has
difference
helped.
between white and black noise?
Just the tone, it's just a frequency tone. That's all it is. And you
So
often
the white
can't,
noise is the
yeah, a bit crackly, and the other one's a bit of a high pitched, like a sort of scenario. Yeah, I guess you could say. But the one, the black noise one I've got actually does play music. So you can actually hear the music softly in it, but then it has that tone underneath it. And it's all to do with the decibels of MCH, whatever it is
And
reading.
frequencies and things,
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. That has worked for me on occasion really well. But again, I think you get to that habit of getting used to it, and then it doesn't work. And then like,
See,
no, just
I can't deal with background noise. I
yeah.
can't deal, I struggle to concentrate on anything with a lot of background noise.
Yeah.
So the white noise and the black noise, that I'm feeling irritated talking
Yeah.
about
Yeah. Yeah. It's
it.
funny, eh? See, I'm the opposite. I can't go to sleep if it's dead quiet. I've got to have something. Yeah, it's quite interesting,
No,
eh?
and
How
see,
brains
because
work.
we live out the back of beyond, it is sometimes I want to go out and shoot the moor park because it's been so noisy, and
Yeah.
that's the only noise I can hear in the distance.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, though. That can be a
Oh,
beautiful
it
thing.
is. Oh, the funny thing is, though, we've got one in the front of our section here. Then there's one in the distance, and then we've got a rooster. So we get a chorus. So we have moor park, cock-a-doodle-doo, moor park, cock-a-doodle-doo. That's the point when I'm ready to go out and have words.
Well, you'll laugh here, Marcy, because I've got a rooster, and my chook pen's not far from the house here at the front. And then my daughter, who lives in a tiny home, is up the back, and she's got two roosters up there. So my rooster calls out to her ones, and they do this big cock-a-doodle-doo, and then this faint one in the background. And hers are little banties, and they sound like the size of an ant. But they do call out to each other. It's like that here. Yeah, crazy.
I'm actually just going to contradict myself about the noise, because when I'm away on holiday, I love to be near the ocean, because the
Hearing.
sound of the ocean, I find really soothing. I guess it's more rhythmic than white noise and black noise.
Yeah, there's a different sort of noise. That sort of the waves, and then they get the seagull, and it's
Well, and knowing that I'm on holiday. That's true.
That's true.
I was just looking at, because I've Googled again, and I going back to the conversation we had last time about dementia, and it talks about brainwave states. This yoga nidra, or the nap, the posh napping, as I'm going to refer to it. The practice shifts the brain from the active beta waves to the calmer alpha and theta waves. So is that another thing that we could potentially practice just to keep his brain healthy? And it also helps lower anxiety. I mean, there's nothing bad about this.
No,
Gosh, though, I
napping
can.
is great, and you've got a good name for your napping now. So you're going to do yoga nidra, and it's a posh nap.
Yeah, I'm just off to see Yoga Nidra for an hour.
Actually, last time we were also talking about you're talking about bone density, and
Yeah.
Oscar, have you two ladies both had bone density scans?
I'm waiting for mine at the moment, waiting to have it done. Yeah, waiting to have one done. Yeah, because
What
I've
about you, Faith?
yeah, I, because of the medication that I've been on for a long time, it can apparently impact on your bone density. So I have to get, I get them, I've had two, three, and there's nothing wrong with my bone density, which is great. Especially since this, like I say, this is a side effect. But you, if, I mean, you can ask your GP to refer you through to get one, and hopefully that's free. But if not, there you can actually do a walk-in at the radiology in New Plymouth and get them
Oh,
done.
I bet.
So yeah, they are a couple of hundred dollars, but for those that are in a position to be able to afford it and want to know, you can just go and get a, it's so easy. It's a quick as like under 15 minutes and you're done.
Far out. I know
What does
Caitlin's
it
my daughter's
involve?
had it done.
You lie down and they just literally they scan, you know, your thigh and hip, and but you even don't even get into a gown or anything. You can just your normal clothes.
Far out.
It's yeah, that's
What's the indicators as to why that might be beneficial? You know,
well,
you've got a potential side effect of your long-term medication, but I can't, I
well, see,
wouldn't.
for me, I have to give you an idea, the reason I went is because I've had x-rays of my mouth and my teeth, and it showed that I had bone degeneration on one of my tooth that had broken off, and it
Oh,
showed that
wow.
there was a problem. There was this black area on the scan that showed on the x-ray that was an issue. And then, as we all know, I've had a gastric bypass done, and so I had developed through blood tests, found out that I had hypoparathyroidism, which is your body's inability to absorb calcium. And so it was recommended by the specialist I had who did my bypass. He mentioned it. Hey, you should mention to your GP about having a bone density scan. And then, of course, then I got the x-ray about my teeth, and it's brought it up. And then my dentist said to me, look, you need to get this sorted. And if you're going to have any major work done dentally, you need to get that done now, because by the time, if you need to go on medication for bone density and bone issues, knowing also too that my mum's got bad osteo, Caitlin's got osteo, my daughter Fee, who you know too, and Marcy, you meet Caitlin as well, but hers is medication like you, Fee, it's been caused by that. And so there was definitely a history of osteo. I've got a sister with rheumatoid to have it done, and it meant that I am at risk of developing issues. But evidently one thing which really surprised me, and no GP, no specialist has told me that this, but my dentist told me that as soon as you have one treatment for bone density issues, that's one treatment, one lot of medication that they can give you, that absolutely stuffs you up from having any major dental surgery, because it affects the bone so much that they can't do anything. It damages the bones around your teeth.
Oh,
And I thought,
right. Really?
yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I'd never heard of that. Yeah, quite interesting.
Yeah, because with the menopause and that, it can affect, I mean, yeah, we're more prone for osteoarthritis and things like that. So it's good to have a benchmark. So that's what mine was for, well, hopefully, you know, and it's good because now when ironically, when my first one was just after I'd had my major fall and I didn't break any bones, and I went and actually, I was on a walker. I just got out of hospital, and they said, "We can probably safely say that your bone density is pretty good because, you know, when you fall 1.5 meters, you should have broken something, and I didn't. So I was quietly confident. And for some reason, I have really good bone density. But and then I've had another one since then, and same again. So I'm fortunate, but I know a lot of people that osteoarthritis is quite a big deal. And if we can get on that early. Then do it. Like they recommend, sort of after 40 is early, but you know, by 45 or 50, you should have a bone density just as that benchmark, that baseline for you, to see if you're a little bit less than the normal. You know, should you be taking, you know, like some calcium or whatever, you know, like to help yourself. You know, why not?
See, I've got a couple of spots of osteo. I've got one in my foot, which they say is prolonged deformity due to a bunion, these wonderful
Yeah.
things, which is wearing chit's shoes in the
Shoes, yeah.
1980s. And then showing signs of osteomenes, which is years of hard work carrying a heavy lass around, and not being particularly physically active, So I think it's, I kind of put him down to that. So perhaps it's worth me thinking about that because there is family history of both osteo and rheumatoid arthritis down my female line. And so maybe that's something. But again, going again, I think last time I mentioned that my GP mentioned the positives of some of the
HRT.
positives of
HRT,
HRT, and one of them was bone density. It
yeah. Yeah, and it'd be interesting
reduces
to see.
the kind of reduced the onset of crumbling bones, whatever.
But I mean, it's like we forget. A lot of women over 40, they do all this cardio exercise. Cardio,
Yeah.
cardio, lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. When in fact, we should be doing more muscle stuff because that's good for our bones. You know, these are the things that are going to keep our bodies together. And like you talk about your knees, Marcia. I've obviously got knees and hip issue from, falling off a ledge. And my
Do it.
physio is doing programs around like building the muscle up around those weak bits. You know, like there's certain exercises, for example, Marcia could be doing to help your knees. You know, like I mean, I know what it's like. I've been a big lass for most of my life, and being tall as well. Apparently, that put us more at risk of these things. And we have it drummed into us as women that we should be all svelte and cardio, lose that weight, instead of build that muscle, that
Muscle.
strength to hold it all together. Yeah, I don't know. But we just got to try and be the healthiest versions of ourselves that we can.
Yeah, so have you had I mean, I feel pretty fortunate. I've not had much in the way of broken bones throughout my life. I mean, I remember being a kid, September, you went back, well, we went back to school in September after the summer break in the UK, and there were always a kid in a, we called them a pot or a cast. There was always somebody who'd broken something over the summer holidays, and it were like, oh, why, you broke your leg or you broke your arm, you're in a cast. And I were almost a bit jealous because I never got anything broken. I just
Oh,
wanted
you're
to wear
lucky.
a cast so people could colour in on it and be the centre of attention. Yeah.
What's
I
the
never had
new
any
take on
breaks. What about
Marcia?
you two? I don't know, I was just only child, that's what it is.
My mum used to say I was an accident going somewhere to happen. Because I broke my arm. And then, like, I was riding my push bike with a broken arm, and then I ran over a car and I ended up on crutches, I crashed my car when I was 18, broke basically everything down the left side of my body, compound fracture of my femur, lots and lots of breaks. But they
Oh.
weren't, and lots of twists and things. But then it was later I found out that I had Ehlers-Danlos, and so I had hyperextension of all my joints. So we're more prone to actually breaking things because we don't land like normal people.
Yeah.
We bend all wrong, so we break things. But no, I've broken fingers, toes, nose, you name it. I've just, tried to reconstruct myself.
You're
But I've
right, you
got
are
good.
an accident going somewhere to happen. I've written that down. I'm going to use that.
But I've got a good bone density though.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thanks. Yeah,
Yeah.
otherwise I'd just be like this crumbled heap in the corner.
It'd just be a speaking bag of powder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite funny
What
because
about you, Tracy?
I haven't broken anything apart, but I've broken a few toes over the years being an ex-ballet dancer, but I've had dislocations. I've dislocated knees, ankle, both knees and ankle, sprains, but I've never broken anything apart from toes.
Just hearts.
Apart, I was just gonna
Hearts. Yeah,
say
I've broken a
that.
few hearts. Yes, I have. And had my heart broken too. Yeah. But
that was very quick. That's about it really. But like saying my girls didn't break anything either. I think Brianna broke her toe, but it was ballet again. That's not an unusual thing to do with ballet. Twisting around and having not shoes on and trying to do two pirouettes and your feet get stuck and you. Break a tie.
So when you did your ballet, Tracy, was there anything like meditation and yoga and that within that environment
No, not with the
or?
ballet, no. It was all about being skinny, little skinny, skinny, skinnies. And then, in fact, I was actually saying to somebody the other day about how I can remember going on a diet, and I was probably 16 and I was 47 kilos and I was going on a diet. And yeah, I know, crazy, eh? And I can remember it was coming up to Christmas and mum asking me what did I want for my Christmas present, and I said diet shakes, and she got me them.
Oh
Yeah,
no,
she got me
it's
them.
awful,
You
isn't it?
know, or even I was doing 8, 9 hours of ballet a day some days over to the school holidays, since we'd go over to Napier and we'd do this big Hawke's Bay summer school over there. And back then we used to wrap our legs in Glad wrap and put plastic pants on and dance in the Napier heat for 8 hours a day, just to get that 2 millimeters of fat extra off your legs, you know, like it was yeah, actually crazy. And funnily enough, Rachel Hunter is a similar age to me, and she used to go to the ballet summer school over there. I can remember her going over there, and she was
So
very
when you say Rachel Hunter, you mean
model. The
the
model,
model,
yeah.
hey, yeah,
Rod
just
Stewart,
clarifying.
yeah, who I can remember her, and I can remember seeing her and all of us just being like, how would she ever be a dancer? She was so tall, because she was very, very tall. She was about 5'10", I think, back then. And all the rest of us were lucky if we were 5'2" then. But I never had a period. I didn't get my period until I was older. I can remember crying my eyes out at my sixth form, so year 12 ball, because I desperately wanted to have a bust to put in a dress. And actually, it was when padded bra, the push-up bras first came out, and I managed to get a push-up bra with the pads in it to give me enough of a shape to get a, probably, I think I was like a double A cup, an eight
Oh
double
my goodness.
A. And had nothing, you know, and but I thought I was fat. I really thought I was fat, and then went through a stage of being terribly bulimic and hiding it. I used to go, and we had a, quite funny when you think about it, because I can remember we had a shower room in our house. We had a normal bathroom, but we had a separate shower, like a shower room. And I can remember going in there into the shower room, knowing that you didn't go in there unless you wanted to have a shower, right? And I could hide me physically putting my fingers down my neck and vomiting in the shower, because I could hide it in there. No one would go in immediately after me, and if there was any residual smell, that they wouldn't ever notice it. Like, it's quite, and I was like that for years. I had it for years and years and years. Quite crazy. But that was the biggest thing from the ballet, was definitely, and I think quite now, and I know after going through the psychologist stuff with having the bypass, was that definitely that was where I started having a major problem with food, was then. Yeah, absolutely was that. Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't really be surprising if you have some bone density issues,
No, it would not
well,
surprise
that's
me.
just what
Because
I'm
you've
going to
deprived your
say.
body for so long. I mean, and isn't it ironic that you've actually lost more weight than you used to be?
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, I have. I
You
know.
lost,
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
you've
so I've
lost
lost.
yourself and
Yeah, I
found
have, and
yourself.
more. Yeah, so often I've lost myself and more. I know, it's quite crazy, eh? But it's funny, like, it's definitely that body dysmorphia is majorly alive and well in my head. And I know I've said to friends that I look in the mirror now and I still see myself being really big. And I was the opposite when I was bigger. I looked in the mirror and saw myself smaller. Didn't realize I was as big as I was. And now I've gone the other way. It's flipped. And I definitely. Yeah, like looking back at the photos, I've got this one photo of me in a photo album, and it's this photo of me, and I've got written on it 47 kgs, and I've got, and I can remember it's the before shot. I got mum to take it before shot, and I've got my hip bones poking right out, and I'm wearing a leotard and ballet tights, standing in front of the Potbelly at home, and I've got my, you can actually see a concave in my over my stomach and through my pelvis where my hip bones are poking out, and that was the before. I mean, it's just horrific. Just horrific. But unfortunately, thank God dancers aren't, you know, like they haven't got that. It's about, like you were saying, about muscle and being strong now. And it's changed. I mean, they still have to be slim, but it's not that in the 80s and 90s, it was all about being, so painful
Skeletal.
done. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And I've had lost friends who died with anorexia. I lost friends dancing who died with anorexia as a result. And you get almost like an obsession. It became like a drug, to be honest. I know it's terrible to say that, but it was a bit like a drug.
Well, it's the endorphins.
Yeah, crazy. But so yoga and that sort of stuff wasn't the thing that calmed me down.
No.
Not eating absolutely was the thing that gave me a high, 100%. It was, if I didn't eat, and it's quite
I
funny with
watched
having.
I watched a doco about Taylor Swift's
Oh
tour.
yeah.
And because if you look at her dancers on her tour, they're all shapes, sizes,
Beautiful.
ethnicities.
Yeah,
There's quite
quite
a
inclusive.
sizable guy in it who was quite the character, because I've seen him on the reels. Anyway, I decided to watch. I highly recommend it, even if you're not a Swiftie. It's just,
Oh, hey,
it's a,
Doco.
the, it's a, I think it's a three-part doco about, is it Era the tours were called? So it's called The End of an Era or something like that. So it charts them going all the way through from choosing the dancers, having positive body image, and about showing that you can be anybody and achieve anything. And then just the way that she treated all the people who made the show what it was. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed, but the thing that was quite fascinating was the attitude of the choreographer and her towards the image that they were portraying to young women about body image. So they specifically chose dancers on skill, not look.
That's cool.
And there was one dance in
Beautiful.
particular where it was about women, and so it was always women who supported her in this dance. But one of the guys really loved the dance. So one night, as a surprise, because he knew it, they said, "Right, you're on." So he had to wear one of the women's outfits, and then he got up on stage and danced with them.
Bloody
No,
awesome.
yeah, because she's like, "Well, why shouldn't you? If you love it and you can do it, then come
Absolutely.
on, let's do
Yeah.
it."
There's a girl who does Broadway shows who has a TikTok channel, and she's a bigger girl, and she dances in Broadway and goes to a lot of classes, and she shows the videos of her dancing, and she'd be an 18, 20, and she's the most amazing dancer, amazing dancer. And there's also a guy in the States who'd probably, I reckon he'd be 130 kilos, and he was told by a ballet dancer to give up years ago, and he's carried on dancing, and he's amazing.
Oh, I think I know him. He,
Yeah,
yeah.
big, got a big beard. He's
Yep.
amazing, amazing dancer. And it's like, I just find that so good to see that change, because just because you're not 47 kilos, you should be able to dance.
So
And
this
you should be
guy
able to
is
do anything.
called this guy's called Cameron Saunders. Give him a Google.
I
He's
will do.
and he's really comedic as well. When he's on, and he's up, he's in the front and center of a lot of the dancing that is done. Yeah, Cam Saunders is his name. Yeah, really cool.
I'm going to get the coughs now, which means we need to finish this up because we have come to the end of the time. But join us
These
next
30
week.
minutes go for
I
so
know it does.
fast.
We talk and it just goes. Hey, thanks for joining us on Wahine Atua. We will see you back again next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.